This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, July 6, 2011. I'm Caleb Brown. The relationship between our efforts in Afghanistan and Pakistan is largely counterintuitive, and many myths about what we should do there never seem to go away. Joshua Rovner is co-author of the Cato paper, Dominoes on the Durand Line. We spoke last week.
How did you take President Obama's discussion of Afghanistan related to his earlier time in office, his ramping up of troops there?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I think that there were parts of the speech that I wasn't crazy about. He repeated the myth of a safe haven, the notion that if we leave precipitously, al-Qaeda will reestablish a safe haven in Afghanistan. I think that's wrong, and I wish that he hadn't brought that up in the speech. On the other hand, the direction of policy seems to be improving. It does seem to be moving towards a more streamlined counterterrorism mission. There seems to be a move away from counterinsurgency and state building, and I think this is all for the good. Now, it remains to be seen whether or not the implementation of this change lives up to this promise. That's why I say I'm cautiously optimistic.
Was the killing of Osama bin Laden in Pakistan with relatively few guys, does that help fuel the argument to get out of Afghanistan?
I think it's an important inflection point in the war against al-Qaeda. Osama bin Laden was a very important and unique figure in the history of al-Qaeda. He was this enormously charismatic individual with a lot of personal resources that he could inject into al-Qaeda's fight. Now that he's gone, the United States has a real opportunity to reconsider just what it's doing. And I think that we're having that debate in Washington today, and I think that's all for the good. I think it also shows that the United States can conduct counterterrorism missions without needing a large footprint in place. There's no U.S. conventional footprint in Pakistan, and yet we were able to carry out this mission, as we've been able to carry out many other missions in places without a large U.S. Ground presence.
Nobody likes the term nation building, but we've been engaged in it for some time in Afghanistan, and other people, prominent U.S. senators, are arguing that we need to continue our effort there in Afghanistan. If we wanted, if that were a desirable goal, nation building, what would be necessary in order for us to achieve that end in a country like Afghanistan?
I think that people fundamentally misunderstand what state building is all about. We have an idea that state building is about creating legitimate government and winning the hearts and the minds of the people and providing services more effectively so that the government is attractive and civilians will latch onto it. But historically, state building is a long, bloody, nasty process. The actual history of state building is of what are essentially gangsters fighting one another in anarchic societies trying to carve out political power. And after some of those gangsters have become sufficiently powerful, then they can get in the business of governing. It's not a pleasant process, and it takes decades. So if we wanted to be in the business of state building, we should need to be prepared to be involved in a very long and bloody and nasty fight. And I don't think we should want to be in that business.
If you had been President Obama, apprised of the situation that he has currently in Afghanistan, what would your recommendation be in terms of U.S. involvement there?
I think the United States can move to a much smaller, streamlined mission. As my co-author Austin Long and I lay out in our Cato paper, we can slim the force down to somewhere between probably 10 and 15,000 troops, mostly special forces, on the ground, with a much clearer mission towards continuing to do direct action against terrorists. And if I was the president, I would start to gently move away from counterinsurgency and from state building. I think that our comparative advantage is in counterterrorism. We've proven quite good at this. We know how to find people. We know how to kill those people, and we've proven this time and time again. It's much, much more difficult to get involved in long-term state-building prospects, long-term state-building projects. So if I was the president, that's the direction I would move policy.
Our efforts in Afghanistan have arguably destabilized neighboring Pakistan, and there are no nukes in Afghanistan, and there clearly are nukes in Pakistan.
I think that the issue of the war in Afghanistan is actually unrelated to the problems that we're seeing in Pakistan right now. Very often you'll hear arguments, and the president himself has made these arguments, that failing in Afghanistan will lead to a less stable Pakistan and will put their nuclear forces at risk. Our analysis shows that these are largely unrelated issues. The progress of U.S. forces against the Taliban in Afghanistan really has no bearing on the progress of Pakistani forces against the Pakistani Taliban.
Now, you say that for good or ill?
For good or ill. We just see these as different issues. Now, we take Pakistani nuclear security very seriously. This is an important issue. And the things that the United States can do, there are things that the United States can do to help Pakistan. For instance, we can help quietly help Pakistan shore up its organizational reforms and its personnel reforms that it's tried to institute over the last 10 years. We can also help Pakistan try to have better diplomatic relations with India in a way that would lower tensions and allow Pakistan to change its nuclear posture towards something that was a little more safe. But these things have nothing to do with what's going on in Afghanistan. As I said, these issues are unrelated.
Joshua Rovner is Assistant Professor of Strategy and Policy at the U.S. Naval War College. You can read the full report at cato.org.